Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to this latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. And, of course, you can always leave a voicemail message by going to SiriusXM.com/GetSerious to leave your voicemail message. Once again, that's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. If you're looking at me on camera, if you're hearing me and I sound a little bit strange, I apologize. I missed work yesterday. Had emergency surgery, dental surgery. I had a double root canal. So half the right side of my face is swollen. I'm sitting out here looking like a chipmunk, okay? My face is bloated and the whole bit, but I love doing my show and I didn't want to miss another day. So I'm here. But if I don't sound the same, I just wanted everybody out there to know why. I got help coming into the mix. I got a lot of stuff to talk about in the NFL. Obviously, the World Series, courtesy of George Springer's three-run shot. The Toronto Blue Jays are going to the World Series against the Los Angeles Dodgers. It was a big-time hit in the seventh inning. Seattle Mariners don't make it to a World Series. Fourth time they've been in the ALCS in the franchise's history. All four times they failed to advance to the World Series. But props to the Toronto Blue Jays, who lost the first two games on their home turf, only to come back and to win the next four out of five games. They deserve a lot of props for that. So they're going to the World Series, and that's what their situation is. There's some NFL stuff to get into. We definitely will do that. The NBA season debuts tonight. I'm bringing in family to help me out here, because my nephew Josh, I got to give credit where credit's due. He does know his basketball. He was in here helping his uncle out, and I'm going to bring him on the air so everybody can hear from my nephew Josh, to hear his NBA talk. The brother crazy, but he knows his basketball. So I'm going to give my little nephew some love, have him come on the show a little bit later on in a few minutes or so. But I want to start off with last night by saying this. The NFL season is getting very, very interesting, because I'm looking at the Detroit Lions last night, and they beating up on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm fully aware that Mike Evans got hurt, broke the collarbone. I'm fully aware that Chris Godwin has been out, that Igbuka hasn't looked the same. I get all of that. But I got to tell you something right now. When I look at the Detroit Lions, I look at the Detroit Lions as arguably the best team in the NFC. That's how we got to look at them right now. But we also have to recognize the fact that the NFC is a crapshoot. It's wide open now. We can't ignore what we're seeing. Right now, if you look at it, if you look at the way the Philadelphia Eagles play, and Jalen Hurts having a perfect game, a 158.3 rating after beating the Minnesota Vikings, the Philadelphia Eagles being 12-0 whenever both Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown score a touchdown, you got to give the reigning defending Super Bowl champions their credibility, their respect, etc. But what you can't do is lean on a kind of drivel that Saquon Barkley put out there, when he's talking about how it's all about winning the game, and that's that. Hell, it is. This man rushed for over 2,000 yards last year, 2,005 to be exact. You turn around this year, you're not even on pace to run for 900 yards. That is not a winning solution for the Philadelphia Eagles. You're not going to win the NFC this year unless the Philadelphia Eagles get a running game, because Saquon Barkley had about 44 yards rushing. It's not going to happen. You're not beating the Lions with that. You're not beating the Seahawks with that, because Sam Darnold's playing lights out. And Jigba, this brother is something special. The defense in Seattle, they are nothing to beat the sneeze at. They are no joke. They come after you. They went after C.J. Stroud all night last night. The Houston Texans are not a bad football team. They're an elite defensive football team. Their problems are on the offensive side of the ball, and they got to figure that out. But Seattle certainly exposed that, okay? And you look at C.J. Stroud right now, that's a different conversation for another day, because we know he's better than what he's showing. Their offensive line stinks, so they can't run the ball. They can't pass protect. And that's really the problem with just the Houston Texans offense. But Seattle's a team that's capable of exploiting that. Sam Darnold went 14-2 last year before nosediving in the season finale against Detroit and then the playoffs against the Rams. But the brother can ball. It's just that simple. This is not the Sam Darnold that was with the New York Jets. This is not the Sam Darnold who we thought that, you know, his career was a wash. The brother can play. and he's doing his thing. And because of that, Seattle is a team that has to be reckoned with. We always got to reckon with San Francisco because of Kyle Shanahan, because the man is finding ways to win games even with Mac Jones as his quarterback. And when I look at the Los Angeles Rams, I look at the Los Angeles Rams shellacking the Jacksonville Jaguars, even though they were doing it without Puka Nacua. They still go out there and they slap around and they win 35-7. This is what's going on in the NFC conference right now. But even with all of that being said, to show you how fair-minded I am, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say to you right now as we speak, Dak Prescott is a leading candidate for league MVP honors. A matter of fact, I would tell you, shockingly, the top two candidates for league MVP honors in my mind is Dak Prescott and Daniel Jones for the Indianapolis Colts. I think right now a legitimate argument could be made that the Colts are the best team in football. Right now, the Colts, as well-balanced as they are, you got three receivers doing different things that you could throw the ball to. It's Pierce, it's Pittman, whomever. You got Jonathan Taylor, who's an absolute stud. You got an offensive line that's elite, and you got Daniel Jones balling out. And clearly, Steichen knows what he's doing as a coach. The Indianapolis Colts are no joke. They're right now, they're the number one team. Kansas City's on a come up. They're a different team with Rashee Rice. We know that. And they got Patrick Mahomes and nobody else does. And so if you did say you're not going to bet your money on the Colts because what's going to happen when they run in to Patrick Mahomes, all right, that's a different subject for another day. But right now, when we're talking about MVP candidates, legitimately, Daniel Jones and Dak Prescott are the two leading candidates for league MVP honors. There's no way around it. I wish I could say differently. I really, really do. But how can I? Because when I'm looking at Dak Prescott right now, I'm looking at a Dallas Cowboy offense averaging 31.7 points per game. The most of any team quarterback by Dak Prescott ever. These Cowboys, 2025 Cowboys, are the fifth team since the 1970 merger to average 35-plus points per game without a turnover in a four-game span. Think about that for a second here. You got both Lamb and Pickens. They both averaged more than 20 yards per catch against the Commanders this past Sunday. You got Dak Prescott in four straight games with three-plus touchdown passes and zero interceptions. That's a new Cowboys franchise record. His last four games, 71 completions, 270 yards per game, 13 touchdowns, not a single interception, and a quarterback rating, or passer rating, rather, of 128. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, it's just time for that. It's just time for that. It's just time to stand down and say, listen, I got to sit here. I have an obligation to be objective and fair. And the reality is that as much as the Cowboys fans, as much as they annoy the living hell out of me, okay, because they're the most disgusting, nauseating fan base in American history, as far as I'm sure. You know we're going to win the Super Bowl next year, right? You know we're going to win the Super Bowl. Every year they're going to win the Super Bowl, no matter how much they stink. But when you look at it right now, ladies and gentlemen, we got to stand down and we might have to sit here and give Jerry Jones some respect. Do I think he needed to lose Micah Parsons? No. Do I think he should have traded him away? No. I damn sure don't think he should have let him get away within the damn conference. That is true, no doubt about it. And Micah Parsons just had three sacks on Sunday, so we know what he brings to the table against Arizona. But the point is, if you look at Dallas right now, knowing Jerry Jones the way that I do, Jerry Jones wants to be a guy that's recognized for, yep, I invested in Dak Prescott at that $60 million tag. And look at what my man is doing out on that field. And I want that to be the reason why we're winning football games right now, not a Micah Parsons or somebody else. And Dak is making him out to look very, very good. Dak Prescott is a top two candidate for league MVP honors right now. And the only reason I wouldn't put him number one is because Indy is obviously widely more successful record-wise than the Dallas Cowboys right now, but I still might have to change my mind. I just have to be fair about it, and it's important to be fair about it, you know, because that's what we're talking about here. This is Dak Prescott that we're talking about. Javonte Williams, Jerry Jones said, Rico Dowdle, go ahead, leave, depart. Now, Rico Dowdle bust their ass, and we all know that, when Dallas went to Carolina, and we saw what he did. Dropping over 200 yards on them. We get that part. The flip side to it, however, is that for $3 million, Javonte Williams is balling for the Cowboys. They have a rushing attack. They right now are running the football better than the Philadelphia Eagles. And meanwhile, the Commanders, their organization messed stuff up because they were busy trying to play hardball with McLaurin and compromised him being in football shape. Now he's missed four games with a quad injury. Deebo Samuel is out. Noah Brown is on injured reserve. All right? So I'm looking at all of that combined with the fact that Eckler, you lost him in week two to a torn Achilles. Brian Robinson Jr., you traded to San Fran in August. All right? And he was your leading rusher for the previous three seasons. So if you're the Commanders, you had a window. And what you did was take for granted that Jaden Daniels was going to always be there for you. And so you just said, hey, and you just took that for granted and didn't prioritize making sure he had everything he needed in a timely fashion to position y'all to capitalize off of last year and really maximize your potential this year. Y'all didn't do that. And as a result, the Washington Commanders are a shell of what we saw them be last year. That's what we're looking at right now. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. We can slice it any way we want to, but that's the reality. Number's 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number. Call up. That's 888-623-3646. I'm about to get into some NBA stuff because the NBA season is getting ready to jump off. And I'm waiting for my nephew to come in here in just a second. But I'm just telling y'all right now, this is what's going on. When you look at the NFL right now, the NFC conference, I don't know if you could definitively say the Eagles are locked to win the NFC with the way Dallas's offense is looking. You got Detroit right now looking like a bunch of rough riders. I mean, they got injuries and all of this other stuff in their secondary, and they still went out there and balled out defensively. And then you look at the NFC West, you got three teams at 5-2. That's what we're talking about here. So things are getting very, very interesting. I love what I'm seeing. I got no issues with it whatsoever. And that's where I'm at with it. So, again, feel free to call in at 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. That's the number to call into the Stephen A. Smith Show. My knuckleheaded nephew's getting ready to come up in here. Grab a seat, bro. This is my nephew, Josh, ladies and gentlemen. My nephew, Josh. What's going on, bro? Say hello to the SiriusXM audience.
What's going on? I'm exposing my eyes to the world today.
Really? You're taking off your shades? Because it's very professional of you.
Yeah.
It's very good. Tip your cap up just a little bit so they can see. Don't hide. You think you look good. Hide. Since you always think you look so good, you might as well show your face a little bit more.
No, you said it, not me.
I got to admit, I do like your jean outfit, though.
Like it?
I do. I do. It's cool. It's cool. I give that to you. Yeah. I give it to you. Yeah. Let me talk to you about this NBA season because I'm going to use you today as my NBA analyst. I could have called other people. You know me. I know a bunch of folks. But I said I'm going to let my little nephew come on here because he loves his basketball. He wants to talk about his basketball. I got the Knicks going to the finals. But I know that Detroit and Cleveland are legitimate threats. Tell me what you think about the Knicks this year and tell me how you're encapsulating the Eastern Conference.
Well, I was a little depressed because tonight our backup center, former backup center, he's going to get a ring tonight. Isaiah Hartenstein.
That's right.
So now I feel like we got the right coach that's going to use the whole rotation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm impressed by who we picked up, the Jordan Clarksons, the Yellow Beasties of the world. And we're a deep team, and I feel like we're going to be first place going to the finals as well and winning it and not losing to Dallas, like somebody has said.
I really believe that Dallas is Oklahoma City's kryptonite. And I think that against anybody else, I would pick Oklahoma City because they're the reigning defending champion, and Shea Butter, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is just that dude, and they're an elite defensive team. But going up against Dallas has always been their kryptonite. Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving ain't healthy right now. We get that part. But I think when healthy, with Davis not having to play the five, with having Lively and Gafford at the five, with having PJ at the three, with having a Klay Thompson at the two, I look at Dallas and I say, if Dallas is healthy, Dallas can win it all. What's wrong with that pick?
I mean, it's like a if Ant Davis is healthy.
And then that's true.
And then it's if Klay Thompson. They kind of aged out to me. And then it's like you putting a lot on a guy that has zero career points so far in Cooper Flagg. I heard them mention him when it comes to.
But when a brother can ball, he can ball, though, Josh. I mean, Cooper Flagg can ball.
He can play.
The brother can play. He can ball.
I don't think I put him to, like, affect the championship team, though. You think so?
Well, I think that if you – listen, it's not so much him.
Mm-hmm.
It's that what are you going to require of him when you have a Kyrie, a Klay, an AD, and everybody else. Now, if he had to be one of the brothers driving the bus, I get you. Mm-hmm. But because that's not the requirement, with his skill set, his size, his athleticism, what he brings to the table, legit 6'7", 6'8", brother can ball, I like their chances. I really, really do. But let me ask you, let me go back to the Eastern Conference. You got the Knicks going to the finals?
Yes.
Who's the number one threat to the Knicks?
This year, Orlando.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Josh, I'm shocked by that.
I'm saying, every time that we was in the playoffs, I always said, let's dodge a team like Indiana, because we have a team to beat those teams with, like, the good wings and stuff like that.
Okay.
Donovan Mitchell and stuff. We got Bridges. But when you play Orlando, you don't really know where it's coming from, like Indiana last year. And Paolo is that guy that can take them over the top. So I don't really want to play them.
I love Paolo, but I don't know if Orlando is ready for that. Mm. Like, I don't think, to me, the number one, I love me some Donovan Mitchell. Mm. Love me some Donovan Mitchell. And I think that last year was an aberration. I don't see them choking in the playoffs 2 years in a row. That's not what I see Cleveland doing. Mm. I got issues with them already, guys being unhealthy, Darius calling and all these guys, what the hell you doing in the offseason, that kind of stuff. But to me, a legitimate argument could be made that the number one threat to the New York Knicks is the Detroit Pistons.
I like the Detroit Pistons.
That was a tough matchup. They're very feisty. Mm-hmm. They didn't have Stewart. They didn't have Ivy. That wouldn't be the case this year, one assumes. And I don't think that you can sleep on the Detroit Pistons at all. I think that could be the number one threat to the New York Knicks.
Do they still have Beasley?
I don't believe so.
So I feel like that's a big loss for them. Mm-hmm. And us adding to our bench separated us from Detroit a little bit. I liked Detroit last year, and I respect how they are now. But we just kind of leveled up. Mm-hmm. And,
when you look at the Western Conference, and I'm going to go there now. Mm-hmm. KD being in Houston, you got a number one option. Mm-hmm. We all know that. We all know what KD brings to the table. Congrats to him because he got $90 million extension, and he deserves every penny, right? Mm-hmm. But when you look at him, what I would say is Van Vliet's a big loss. Looking at their starting lineup tonight. They start like four dudes, 6'11".
Right.
Right. So I'm looking at them tonight, and they sending a message to Oklahoma City. It's going to be real interesting to see what happens there. But I'm not sleeping on KD one little bit and what he brings to the table. I wonder about their depth, though, in Houston. When you look at the West, whether it's the Lakers, it's Minnesota, it's Denver, with some of the things they've done this offseason, what are your thoughts about the Western Conference?
My thoughts about the Western Conference? I got OKC, you got to beat them to show me that I should be picking somebody else.
Okay.
I like the Houston until Van Fleet went down. And everybody's like, Reed Sheppard. No. Like, I don't know.
Reed's not good, but he ain't Van Fleet.
Yeah, you have to prove it to me.
He ain't Van Fleet.
I like your Dallas pick, not for them to win the whole thing, but for them to be in it so long as everybody's healthy. And I think everybody's forgetting about Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler being on the same team.
Why are you thinking that? See, my issue with them is not talent. Mm-hmm. It's durability because Steph ain't getting no younger. Jimmy Butler certainly ain't getting no younger. Draymond ain't getting no younger. But I believe in them.
Right.
My question mark about them is their size. I'm wondering about that, even though I think the Al Horford pick is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts about Golden State?
Golden State, I think they got to elevate Kuminga's role, because then you have you got the Butlers, and when you say that they they got to be healthy. Dallas, I feel like they known to be more healthy than the players that are on Dallas. So I like Golden State kind of shocking everybody and going under the radar.
So shocking everybody how? Don't come up here and be waffling. Get specific. What the hell does that mean? What do you mean you like them to side of or surprise under the radar? What you saying?
Because this is one of the most unpredictable NBA times.
Oh, damn it, you here to make a prediction.
Along with, you know why? Because y'all switched it with the play-in.
Okay.
So now 10 teams get into a 10th seed that's kind of struggled. You got to look out for the Pelicans.
Stop whining. The play-in didn't just start this year.
I know.
The play-in been here the last several years. So you know what the conditions are coming into the season with your prediction. Don't waffle now. What you moonwalking like Michael Jackson or something?
I'm not.
All right. Just say what you got to say.
5-6 is Pelicans Warriors. Everybody else got to figure everything out. I got them two actually making the real playoffs.
So you think the Pelicans going to finally
make the playoffs? I like the Pelicans.
Why do you like the Pelicans? Because Zion's in shape?
They picked up Jordan Poole. You know, everybody forgot about Jordan Poole, but he helped the
he
Warriors
can play.
Get a
he can play. He can play. Right. No doubt about it.
Right. So you take that 20 points per game that he averaged when the Warriors won a championship, bring that to Zion. Hopefully y'all are healthy. I like the Pelicans.
You didn't say anything about the Lakers yet. Why not?
I'm saying I just question like the Lakers, like leadership and coaching and stuff like that.
Hold that thought. I'm coming back to you on that. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call. It's 888-623-3646. I'm going to hang out with my nephew for just a few more minutes before I get back to some stuff as well. So I'm going to do what I got to do in regards to that. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is 888-623-3646. Oh, man, Michael Bublé is coming up. Got to have him on, too. I might have to throw you out here the minute I see
him.
I might have to do that. You might man, let you stay for a few minutes, but then I might throw you out. Because Michael Bublé is going to be in the house. You ain't coming before him. I'm giving my nephew some shine, you know what I'm saying? But you can't have it all.
You're right.
You can't have it all.
I got you.
More of the Stephen A. Smith Show right here. SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more in a minute.
Back to the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Welcome back to Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. We're going to take a left turn because I got a special guest in the house, and we always like special guests. My guest is a five-time Grammy Award winner and a judge on the hit NBC show, The Voice. He's also out with new music that we'll get into. Please welcome the one and only Mr. Michael Bublé to the crib. How you doing, my man?
Dude, are you kidding me? Canadian boy sitting here. I have never, ever, ever had a chance to speak to a future president before.
It's not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. I like my life. Man.
Well,
I'm not trying to give up this life.
They won't let me vote. But if I could, you'd have my vote.
I appreciate
that.
It's
such a pleasure to be here, man. It was such a
pleasure.
I love being outside, walking in and hearing your voice, and you know, and getting to walk in here and meet you.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. How you like doing The Voice, man?
I love it. Are you kidding me? It's great. I love that we're. You know, what's nice is to be a coach and not a judge, because I'm not near good enough to ever judge any one of these singers that are better than me. You know what, man? The panel, the fellow coaches are beautiful people.
Right.
Niall Horan and Reba McEntire and Snoop. Yep. And Snoop and I hit it off.
You know, like, Snoop's. You know, Snoop's my guy.
Yeah, man. We hit it off like in a minute. And he's just a really kind, exceptional dude. And the talent is amazing. It's like they pay me to be entertained like that. To sit there and to hear these singers, it's like, are you kidding me?
Do you ever find yourself in a situation where there's somebody out there that you got to judge that ain't that damn talented? Did you ever find yourself in those rare situations
where someone's no good?
Where somebody's just not that good. They just don't have it.
No, man. They don't get to that place.
That's what I'm asking.
I have people now on the street. That's a different thing.
Okay.
Because I have people every day that will come up to me. And they'll say to me, like, can I just sing, nah, last, my love. Then there's,
that's
you go like.
That's annoying as hell, because you got to listen. You're trying not to be rude, but you're not like, look, damn it. I ain't come out here to listen to this, right? You got to tell them that stuff.
On the show, though, by the time they get to that point, it's tough to get to that point. Like, just to get to that point, they're already winners. You have to be exceptional to get on to get even to a blind audition.
So. I think it's fascinating to, you know, with shows like that, because listen, in America and throughout this world, you want to give people hope. You want to inspire them. You want to make them feel good any chance you get. You know what I'm saying? Especially for folks on the come up, that one opportunity could be life changing and stuff like that. Knowing that kind of magic could happen and y'all could facilitate that is a big, big deal. How nervous are some of those people when they're doing that? I'm just imagining it's like, what do y'all do to help them out in that regard?
I think they're terrified. I think, you know, listen, one of the coaches is named Niall Horan, and you may not know Niall, that's okay, but Niall is becoming a massive star, if not already a massive star. And he was in a group called One Direction, and they started off on one of those shows, those talent shows. So I sit and watch this kid who has been there, who has made his journey, has become a huge star, great writer, you know, great entertainer.
Right.
But he was one of them. And so I'll literally sit there and watch him process how it feels. And the thing about Snoop, because you know Snoop, so I don't have to teach you.
That's my guy.
Empathy. Snoop is an empathetic cat.
He is.
He's a good person. Man, that guy, he'll cry for them when there's a moving moment. Reba McEntire as well, you know. And that's the thing, is being present enough and kind enough to to really put yourself in that position and to sort of advocate for them.
People were saying to me, Steven, make sure you ask him what makes him want to turn his chair? What makes him want to turn his chair? And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Yeah. And then I watched it last night. I was like, I know what you're talking about right now.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I'm like, what? Answer that question for us. What makes you want to turn your chair when you're on The Voice?
Well, I'd never watched The Voice before, and a girlfriend of mine, great comedian, had said to me, here's the number one rule. She said, I shouldn't say this, but I'll say it. She said, don't pull a Kelly Clarkson. And I said, what? What is a Kelly Clarkson? She said, well, Kelly gets so excited that she just smashes the thing at the very start. She hears the voice. She said, let them get to a place in the song where you can tell the range of the voice. Can they get, you know? And so, listen, I wish I could sing as well as Kelly Clarkson.
Right.
But I try not to pull. I try to just be a little bit patient, unless it's something where you hear something, you go, okay. I gotta hit this so fast.
Tell me about you. What are you doing with yourself other than The Voice these days? Because you're still doing some music and whatever. Let everybody know what you're doing.
You mean like professionally?
Yes, professionally, yeah.
Okay, well, it's not as important, but professionally, I'm gonna go make a record in November. I'm kind of writing a love letter to country and western. I know it sounds strange, but
I'm not knocking it. I'm on board.
Do you remember the Ray Charles record?
Okay.
Modern Sounds?
Yes.
Where he took on like Hank and he took on. That's kind of what I'm doing. I'm going to do my versions. And for me, that's not just a cousin of the American Songbook. They are the twin brothers. So that's one thing. I got lots of stuff happening. I got, a record, a best of, sort of not a best of, like a 20th anniversary of one of my old records. But honestly, the truth is, the stuff that is important to me, that I want to talk about, isn't music.
It is.
It's sports.
Okay.
And the truth is, if you ask me, you put a truce in my arm, as just maybe you said to me, what is the number one thing that you're doing that you're worried about? It is my fantasy football teams. Okay? That's number one.
Your fantasy football teams.
Yes, sir.
Fantasy.
Fantasy's real.
Fantasy
don't,
real.
Don't talk
fantasy.
Like my wife. She said, oh, my it's goodness. No real, Mike. It's fantasy. And then we can talk about the fact that the greatest ball player, maybe, arguably, ever in the history of the game, every single time he walks up the bat, Otani uses my song, Feeling Good.
That's right. I was going there. I was going there. Then I got to somehow fight that
inside that as a Canadian, beloved Blue Jays are going to go up against now my hero. I'm conflicted.
That's right.
I'm not really. I'll go for
that's
the Blue
what I'm
Jays.
Asking. That's what I'm asking. I mean, Canada's listening now. Are you gonna go for Otani? Are you gonna engage in some patriotism here?
There's patriotism number one. My heart is in Canada. I'm a Canadian. I'm a Canadian patriot. I fly the flag. I bleed the red and white. But there's something deeply sensual about watching.
Listen,
you know what it feels like, dude? Watching him go up and hearing myself, and then watching him do what he does is like I can't believe that I am a small part of history. Like, for me, this is bigger.
It's not a small part because we're looking at a guy in Shohei Ohtani that might be the greatest player we've ever seen since Babe Ruth.
Yep.
That's what we're talking about here.
Yep.
What he can do. Now, I don't know why he's not doing it enough in the postseason, though he had a big-time game Friday.
Yeah,
I'm just looking at him, and I'm saying, what's the struggle in the postseason? Because he's got it all. And I'm looking at him, and I'm saying, how y'all going to beat them? But I got to tell you this. If you look at the Dodgers pitching, their rotations, big time. Got an ERA under 2 over the last 64 and a third innings. This is what they're doing. But if you can get to that bullpen for the Dodgers, you can push this to a 7 game. You might be able to win this series. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at it from that standpoint. And I think the Toronto Blue Jays have a chance. Are you hopeful? Or are you expecting them to give the Dodgers a run for their money?
No.
Hope or expectation? Which one is it?
I think like everybody else, I think there's probably an expectation that it's the Dodgers to win, I think. But I don't think – it's funny. I was talking to Brett Veach, and I'm friends with Brett and Eric Stone Street, friends of mine.
Yep.
And we were talking last night, and I told him. I said, I don't think it's going to be as easy as everybody thinks it's going to be. I think it's going to be way closer. I really do. I think it'll be a battle. But this is the greatest thing about sports and the greatest thing about a best of 7. You know what I mean? You just never, you never know.
Like, and I love it when stars play like stars. To me, that's when it's at its best.
Yeah.
Like Vladimir Guerrero playing the way that he's playing.
Yeah, that clutch.
Against the, I mean, when you, the guys that get the man, the guy signed 14 years, $500 million. You got to show up in big moments like this. And the brother showed up.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, I'm here now. This ain't the regular season. I'm here now. Mm-hmm. See, I love it. That's when it's at its best because it's me and you. Let's get it on. Let's find out, may the best man win. I think this is that kind of series. I could see this World Series going seven games.
Wouldn't that be amazing for, I mean, listen,
a game seven in Toronto.
It makes me so happy because I love baseball. And if baseball feels like it is at the best place that it's ever been, like personally, I feel like as a fan, it is, they're just killing it.
Why
like,
do you think that is?
Why
do you think it's at the best place?
I think maybe people's lack of patience, it helps that there's a bit of a, you know, in with the difference in the time
pitch
and stuff.
Pitch
like,
count,
you know,
shifting.
And I think, somebody like Ohtani, really, where, you know what I mean? It's like, it's always magic when you get to see the great ones having a moment. And I mean, it's just, it's something. Mm-hmm. It really is. You know, I got to talk to him.
Okay.
When? And about a month ago. And I said to him, I said, why? You know, my huge ego. Why? I said, why did you pick my song? And then I found out it was his wife.
why do you care?
I didn't
and the
care.
Reasons don't
I
matter.
Just, hey, man,
as long
I was
as you're
happy.
Associated with
as
him,
long
that's
as
fine.
I'm associated, I like to tell people I have a little bit to do with his talent, too, but of course not. But it's a great, man. It's a great. Like, I was so excited to come and talk to you today because it is such a great time. If you love sports, like we are living in. This is Disneyland for us.
Sports is the best. Sports. Is, I
you
mean,
got
nothing,
it all
I don't
happening.
Think, I don't think
my
anything,
hockey started.
I don't think anything brings people together better than sports. I truly don't. I don't think anything brings people together like sports.
Agreed.
Does.
Agreed.
I really, really don't. Yeah. You're a Kansas City Chiefs fan?
Well, I grew up a huge Seattle Seahawks fan. You
okay.
know, being from Vancouver, and then years. I mean, I should say this: they hadn't won. It was years before they won. But Eric Stone Street's a really good friend, and. He introduced me to Brett and the guy, and I would go down to the camp and hang out and, you know, what kind of, I mean, amazing, get to chuck balls with Mahomes and be, you know, hang out. And they were all such great people. And I like Brett Veach a lot. And so I was so happy for him when they started that success. And of course, a couple years later, they go and they win their first of two.
Right.
And just such a good dude that it's hard not to cheer for him. And Snoop makes fun of me. Because he says, he goes like, nice time to get on the bandwagon, Bublé.
He's in no position to make fun of you because both he and I are Pittsburgh Steelers
but
fans.
By the way, you know
and
what
we,
he said?
And we ain't catching no luck.
You know what, though? He said to me before this season, I said, what do you think? He said, Mike, they're going to be okay for you. I said, really? I said, really? They're going to be okay with Aaron? He said, Mike, you watch. And you know what? They've been okay.
They've been okay, but I don't want okay. We ain't won a playoff game since 2016.
I want
no damn okay. But
okay
don't do anything for me. Listen, it's worse. In sports, y'all got to understand this. It's bad to be middle of the road.
I agree.
See, you either need to be up top or you need to stink.
I
so
agree.
You can put yourself in a position to build through the draft. You can't be someone in the middle of the
I
road
understand.
Teams, which is what the Steelers have been.
And I'm a Vancouver Canucks fan. And in the NHL, we have been the epitome. Of
That's
almost,
true.
You know what I
That's
mean?
True.
It's been,
That's
I feel
true.
Like this, I felt
Vancouver's
bad.
It was a beautiful city.
I felt bad for the Mariners fans last night. Yes. I honestly did because I know I've been a Mariners fan. I always pulled for them and I hurt because it must feel like we feel like we're cursed.
So close.
Like we're cursed or something. You're
so close.
I know.
Four times you've been to the ALCS and you can't get over the hump. That's bad. That's very bad. You know,
I felt
bad for
feeling.
Them. But then again, you had a 2-0 lead. You beat one of the first two games in Toronto. You can't lose four of the next five games if you're really trying to be a champion.
Yeah.
So I don't really feel sorry for you when you lose. Now, you go back and forth, but there's a break here and there that don't go your way. That's different. But when you are up 2-0 and going on your home turf and all you got to do, and you got three games there, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You win two of those three games, you won the pennant.
Yeah.
And you can't do that? I'm sorry. I can't. I just can't feel sorry for you.
That's, I understand. It's heartbreaking.
That is sports.
It's heartbreaking.
That is sports. So that listen, sports. Let me ask you this because listen, I'm a fan of yours. I'm a fan of The Voice. My daughter got me watching the show. All of that stuff. But I also hear your family is in the music. Is that true? Your children and all that stuff. I
mean, my kids. Yeah, they love it, man. They love it. They love it. I mean, they're my son. Both my kids. My son, you know, is. It's cool too because it's not something that's pushed. It's just something that they love and. It's very cool to watch them. I don't know if they'll grow up to be musicians or what they're going to do, but I love, you know, I always say this when people, because this is something as a coach of The Voice, many people on the street will, they'll say like, hey, you know, my son or daughter is, you know, they you know, want to be a musician. You know, what advice do you have? And I'll give you the advice, or excuse me, I'll share it generically to the audience at home. Here's what I'll say to you. I'll say it to my kids too. If God gave you a love of music, if the Lord put that into you, it is the greatest gift you can ever have. You know what? Relationships, they might hurt you, and you in business, you might win some and lose some, but the Lord giving you a relationship and a love for music will never let you down.
Who doesn't
you will
love
have
music?
You will love, you will have that passion for your whole life. And I don't care if you're playing for one people or 1 million people, there's nothing as fulfilling as loving music and getting to make music.
Doing The Voice, how has it affected you as a parent? I'm interested in knowing when you're communicating with your kids, because of the impact, when you do television and you do a show like that, it's so inspirational on so many levels, you know, because, you know, you're there to be supportive, to make people feel good, to let them know, to tap into your potential. Don't be afraid to take a chance. Don't be afraid to fail. These are the kind of messages we hear all the time. We read about it. We hear the cliches and all stuff. But people like yourself in your position, and I know this from talking to Snoop about this kind of stuff, too. You practice it. I'm interested in knowing what kind of impact that has on you as a parent when you're thinking about how you communicate with your kids. Because I'm imagining whatever you learn from this experience is something you obviously going to take home to benefit the people you love most.
I think it's a great question. I think interesting for me, I bet you Snoop would answer the same way. I don't think it's something we take from the show we take home. I think it's something we take home to the show. I think, you know what, if I talk to Snoop about his 12 grandkids, about how he feels about his own kids, is something that we see when we look at the eyes of those artists. And we, by the way, many times we don't see their parents standing there with them, but we kind of know they're there. And so, you know what, we always sort of really try to take that into consideration. And, you know, to have that level of empathy and understanding is, so you take both. I mean, listen, you learn humility. There are lessons to be learned from being on a TV show like that, for sure. Right. You learn humility. You think sometimes you realize that, just like you. I mean, we learn lessons every day about ourselves where sometimes we, you know, we forget that people are people, that, you know, everybody has feelings and everybody's, you know, delicate in their own way and vulnerable in their own way. And sometimes it helps to be reminded sometimes just to be a better human being.
You know, I brought that up because I remember years ago when I started out at ESPN and it was a show called Dream Job. And it was like, I was a judge on the show with aspiring, you know, journalists and sports commentators, stuff like that. And I just call it like I see it. If they wasn't working, they weren't working. And then one day I looked at somebody and I saw their mama there with them.
Ooh.
And I went like this, I have to be nice. I have to be nice. And so, because it just, you know, I love mamas. And I was like, mama there supporting us, her son. I can't be like that. And it catches me. And I brought that up and I asked that question because I think about folks in your position. And I'm glad you brought that up because you see people, you didn't see them, but you know they're there. But, and it might have an effect on you.
I think you're a great example, man. I'm not just saying this, but we were talking about this on the ride here today. You got to be yourself.
Yeah.
And you know what? Not everybody's going to like you and not everyone's like everything you say, but if you have integrity, okay, and you do it and you're straight and you're honest and you know, at some point that's your brand.
Yeah.
Your brand is the consistency of every single relationship you've had, conversation, and that's all you can do. And by the way, man, this conversation, there're going to be people that listen to us and say, those guys don't know what they're, but there'll be others that, and we can't worry about that.
Right.
We can. And if we're just true to ourselves, I know this sounds like a cliche thing, but it's hard to be in this world. Because you know what? I'm a guy. I'm a people pleaser. I want people to like me. But I have to fight that. And as I turned 50, I was like, you know what, man? You got to worry less about what they think. And just you know, be able to look at yourself.
Care more about doing what's right.
Absolutely.
Care more about what's doing that right. Because
totally.
you'll be able to sleep at night because you know you're trying to do the right things. And then, like, you know, Snoop has been through a lot. Has been through a lot. That's my brother.
Yeah.
I love that man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's always been there for me. That's my dude right there. And to know what he has gone through and the things that he has experienced in his life and to see where he is at this place right now, I think Snoop is one of the greatest inspirations in American history.
I agree.
I don't think people realize how.
I mean,
he's a special brother, and he loves you.
I love him, man. I tell him all the time, and I know it probably makes him shy, but I see him very much as very similar to Louis Armstrong, and a guy who, you know, people might not know it yet, but he has changed the face of music. literally, he has changed how we look at a genre of music that now is the most popular genre. Mm-hmm. And he's the guy who sort of made it okay for everybody. Mm-hmm. And stylistically, I mean, listen, talk about musicians, dude.
Right.
You know, he's a fabulous musician.
Yeah.
You know, like what he does, people, rapping is rhyming. No, no.
No.
It is special. Very musical. Like, and it's not just rhythm. It's not just intonation. He's a singer, too. Yeah. The dude can do it all.
He can do it.
And the fact that he goes out there and, you know, man, like, I watch him get very moved by young people, especially in his community.
Yeah.
And how proud he is of them being a certain way, being raised a certain way.
He doesn't talk about it much, but he does a lot in the community.
He does.
A whole bunch of
And when he does talk about it, it's deep. Yeah. It's very moving. And it's been, honestly, I'm going to tell you the truth. The only reason I'm on season 3 of this show, I was only going to do 2.
Right.
And he and I were in the back and hanging, and he said to me, I think I'm going to do one more. He said, would you do one more? And I said, if you do it, I'll do it. And he said, okay, I'll do it. You do it. And we shook hands.
Teamwork makes the dream
work. That was it, man.
Teamwork makes the dream work, because I don't care what you say. You know, it's a lot easier to go to work with people you want to work with than with people you don't want to be around.
Yes.
Than people you don't want to be around. Is this going to be your last season? My last question to you.
Yes,
is this going to be your last season?
Yes, sir.
Why?
I gotta go. I gotta go on and make some records and tour and make. I got a movie and a TV show. I got lots of stuff. And I'm a dad. I got 4 kids.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I did this. It was so awesome. Who knows? Maybe I'll come back. Maybe Snoop and I will shake hands again and come back. But it's been awesome, man. It's been a blast. But it's time to do some other stuff.
Man, I really enjoy sitting here talking with
Likewise.
You. Likewise. Well, you're welcome back anytime.
Thank you,
man.
My friend. Thank you. I'll keep
listening.
One
only Michael Bublé in the house right here with Stephen A. My thanks to Mr. Bublé himself. It's time. 20th anniversary deluxe edition is out now. Catch Michael as a coach on The Voice, Mondays on NBC, and streaming the very next day on Peacock. Stephen A. Smith Show in the house. SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. Your calls and more in a minute. Don't go away. It's your boy in the house. Michael Bublé. Don't get much better. Don't get much better.
Think you have what it takes to debate Stephen A? Call the show at 888-MAD-DOG-6. Here's Stephen A. Smith.
That was a lot of fun hanging with the one and only Michael Bublé from The Voice. Really, really appreciated it coming into the show. That was a legitimate reason to interrupt Josh and his NBA segment with yours truly, my nephew, in the house that I'm using as my resident NBA analyst today, because he's helping me out personally. I like to troll him and mess with him. Yeah. But he's actually here helping me out today because I had double root canal surgery. I'm sitting here looking like a damn chipmunk. You know, my jaw is swollen and stuff like that. So my nephew Josh is in there helping me out. Number to call up is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. Before I let you get on out of here, let's get back to the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Your issue with the Lakers is what?
It's not that I have an issue, because I don't really care if the Lakers win or lose, but...
Why don't you care?
Why don't I care?
What's wrong with Southern California?
Oh, well, if you've given me tickets, then I hope they go to the finals too, and I'll meet you there. But besides that, I believe in OKC, and I don't think the Lakers are going to do much to challenge them. And Luka, even the new Luka, you know, lost weight. I don't see it. I don't see that improving his defense. And LeBron is not getting younger. He's you know, I don't. Yeah.
What about what everybody's saying about the Clippers?
What they saying about the Clippers?
They say the Clippers got a chance if Kawhi's healthy, James Harden. You know, they think they got a chance. What do
Chris
you
Paul.
I love Chris Paul. You know that leader.
Yeah.
Leader. They go, people are going to be held accountable. Chris right. Paul on the squad. You know that.
Yeah. So if it was like 2017, I would like the Clippers. But Kawhi, Chris Paul, Harden, nah. You're going to run into Ant Edwards, and he's going to do what he do to legends. Mm. Get you out of there.
Ant-Man is my favorite player in the NBA.
Mine too.
Him and Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Those are my two. Who's your two?
Those are my two, too.
See, you learn. You learn from the best.
Yeah,
you learn from the best. Wisdom. Yeah. Wisdom beyond your years. Yeah. So... Have you have a definitive team you picking to come out of the West?
If I had to pick one, it's going to be OKC to come out again.
Okay. Mm. I can't knock that. I cannot. I think they struggle offensively. And I think that the way they struggle, I think those gaps, I think they'll get exposed. I think this year, you ain't going to be able to pull that off. You're going to have to be better offensively if you are Oklahoma City in order to win the championship again.
Well, I think a year of experience is going to give them a lot. Shea is Shea. Ain't nobody challenging that.
That's right.
And then you got Jalen Williams, with an extra year and experience with a championship now.
Yep.
And you got Chet. So you got that to build around Hartenstein. They're not going nowhere.
Should we be talking about San Antonio and Wembanyama?
Wemby one of them people, he got to prove to me he could play a whole season.
Just, you talking about just health-wise.
Yeah, just health-wise. Yeah, health-wise, he's top five MVP candidates and all of that if he's healthy for a certain amount of games.
Is there a sleeper that you haven't mentioned that we should be looking out for?
I told you, I had mentioned the Pelicans. That's my dark horse team of the year.
Mm. Like, is it because of Zion?
Yeah, it was always because of Zion. I just feel like this is the healthy year for him. So if it is, when he's healthy, he averages 26 on 70% shooting. So
I got Jalen Brunson as a candidate for league MVP.
Yeah, me too. He's number three on my list.
Who's number two, one and two?
One is Jokic, because like stats is stats, and Denver needs him to do exactly what he does every game.
Okay.
Then two is SGA, because he doesn't take a night off. Like,
Shea Gibbs.
Yeah.
You know who I'm looking at? Are you ready for this?
Who?
Everybody talk about Luka, because he lost weight or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think over 35, I'm looking at KD.
Kevin Durant?
I think KD got a chance. I think Ime Udoka is going to say to him, take us there. Mm-hmm. We got you covered in all other areas. But that number one scoring option, that 27 a night that we need, that kind of thing, that's what we need you to do. Mm-hmm. I think that's what's going to happen with KD. And I got KD as a leading candidate for league MVP this year. Could you imagine if he won MVP at this stage in his career,
right?
What that would do for his career, especially if Houston make a run, because I think they can. Mm-hmm. That would be big.
Yeah, if anybody could do it, it is KD. And I seen him talking to Gary Payton last year, basically letting him know, like, we don't age how y'all used to age. Mm-hmm. You know, we older, and it is what it is. So if he did get MVP, I could see him doing that. I could see him doing it. He could be one of those ones.
Could you see Luka doing it?
Yeah, Luka was my... If you didn't say KD, I was expecting you to say Luka.
Yes. Yeah.
If the Lakers are going to do anything, it's led by him and stat stuffer.
I'm looking at that. I'm looking at, man, I would just love to see... I want to see Kyrie come back so bad.
Yeah.
Because I want to see what Dallas is going to be with him without Luka. With him and Cooper Flagg and Anthony Davis. And I think that Anthony Davis... The untold story in all of this is that Luka's gone because of him.
Mm-hmm.
If Anthony Davis ain't available, Dallas can't move Luka. Yeah. So if you go there to Dallas, right, and you remember he was wreaking havoc that first half, his very first game in the Dallas Maverick uniform. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm here now. I'm here. And then he got hurt.
Yeah.
My point is that we got to put it on Anthony Davis. Yo, you that dude, you can average 28 and 12 a night. That's what the hell you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
For Dallas, don't make them cats to be out, Nico Harris and them to be a liar.
Right.
Go out there and close the deal. That's how I'm looking at Dallas.
Yeah, and you'd be correct. I feel like if Ant Davis is healthy, which is like the biggest if in the NBA, but if he is healthy, then yeah, I could see him.
Well, the biggest if in the NBA is Kawhi Leonard's availability, not Anthony Davis' availability.
You think so?
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard. Please, Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard. That's the biggest if.
I've seen Kawhi do – you know what? Kawhi take a lot of heat from you, but I've seen Kawhi finish playoff runs. I've seen him average 30 for complete playoff runs.
No. I'm not talking about anything involving his game.
Yeah.
I'm only talking availability.
Availability.
I know how big time he is when he's available.
Right.
I'm just saying, this brother could go to Chick-fil-A and the next thing you know, he injured. I mean, that's the problem. That's the problem with Kawhi Leonard right there. He can sit up there and drop 40 and drive the car out of the arena and call in an hour later. He ain't available tomorrow.
That's the problem. I agree with you about that when I see an interview. I'm like, with certain players, we see the injuries.
Right.
Like Kawhi, you had 40 today and then you're just not playing in game two. What happened?
Makes no sense.
No, I get it.
You know what? You didn't do bad. You know what I'm saying? Your uncle's injured and stuff. Got the chipmunk face, got the double root canal.
Yeah.
I could barely talk. I called you in to help me, and you did it. You came through.
Yep.
I'm proud of you.
I had Googled how much Kendrick Perkins makes, too. So.
Really?
Yeah.
What that got to do with me?
I'm saying I just filled in for you for the episode.
You don't deserve Kendrick Perkins' money. You ain't there yet, but you do deserve a check. I'm going to look out for you. Now get the hell out of here.
Right, cool.
Hour number two up next, right here at the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Nephew Josh. Filling in as my NBA analyst today. Had a good time. Y'all enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Love it. Back with hour number two up next.
Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Welcome to hour number two of the Stephen A. Smith Show right here over Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, coming at you every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, re-airing from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Leading into Mad Dog, coming right out of Mad Dog, right here on Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. New NBA season, new excuses. I said new excuses incoming. Before your team starts losing, send me that confidence while it's fresh. Drop your boldest ticket, SiriusXM.com/getserious. That's SiriusXM.com/getserious. Those are your voicemail messages. A lot of stuff to get into with the NBA and the NFL, to say the least. Thanks again to the one and only Michael Bublé for coming on the show, along with my nephew Josh, looking out for his uncle, who's pretty much down because my face is like a chipmunk because I had double root canal surgery. So I apologize. That is why I missed yesterday's show, because I had emergency surgery Saturday. And I was pretty much down and out and pretty much drugged up on Percocet, to be honest with you. You know, so I couldn't work yesterday, but I managed to get in here today. So I appreciate y'all being patient with me, and I thank you for it. I really, really do. I just couldn't miss today, the opening of the NBA season. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. Let's get right to the phones because I want to hear from y'all, all right? So let's go to John in VA. You're live with Stephen A. What's going on, John? How are you?
Good afternoon, Stephen A. Listen, I'm 74. I've had the root canal, so I feel your pain. It's no joke. It's no fun.
Thank you, man. Thank you, bro.
Stephen A., I'm bringing you good vibes today because I am a person that you do nick me off sometimes. However, Josh, how old is that guy?
Josh is 36.
Very impressed with him. But I'd like to tell you what I'm even more impressed with, because you've had your daughter on one of the shows not too long ago.
Yes.
And in the midst of all the prosperity that you're realizing in your life, you're finding room and space for some of your family and some of your family that's worthy of it. And that's a very noble attribute. And I have to tell you, that's amongst the things that keeps me in your camp.
Well, I appreciate it. I mean, you know, you love your family. I love mine, you know, but I'm certainly not going to just give people platforms. My obligations to my listeners and, you know, my viewers and stuff like that. And I make sure that people know they got to bring something to the table. My nephew just happens to be a very, very talented young man. And my daughter is just next level. So, you know, that's just the way that it goes. But I appreciate the kind words and I thank you for it. I really do.
No question.
Take it easy, my man. Let's go to Corey in Illinois. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Corey? How are you?
Good. Good, Stephen. How are you
Corey,
doing
talk
today,
to me,
sir?
Man. I'm doing all right, man. Thank you for calling, Corey. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry about calling through, man. Watch my mom go through that. There's a lot of pain, but you'll be all right, man.
I wanted to call and talk
about the Warriors, sir, but as I was waiting, I've seen news coming out about the Dallas Cowboys inquiring about Max Crosby. Have you seen that, sir?
I haven't seen it, but I've heard about it. Obviously, if they were to get somebody like Max Crosby, that would be big time for them. I actually wish something better for Max Crosby. He deserves so much better than the Raiders. I can tell you that much. He really, really does. The Raiders are just an absolute mess. There's just no way around it. But I don't know if that's going to happen. But I can't ignore the fact that I'm a fair-minded guy. And we all know, like, I like to troll Dallas Cowboy fans, but it's all in fun. You know, they love to hate on me and vice versa, but we're all having fun with each other. It's nothing serious. I would just tell you that looking at Dak Prescott, he looks sensational right now. And he's got some sensational weapons in CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens, all right? And Ferguson is no joke either. And Javonte Williams is balling, and the offensive line is respectable. And so right now we've got to look at it objectively and say, the Eagles, with some of their struggles, it's not a lock that the Eagles are going to win this division any longer. It's not a lock at all. Dallas could potentially make some noise, and I think that we have to pay attention to that as we move forward.
Hey, after what we've seen on Sunday, 30 plays run.
Yeah, but you also got to remember, you're going against the Washington Commanders team. You don't have McLaurin. You don't have Noah Brown. You don't have Deebo Samuel, and Jaden Daniels got hurt. So we got to look at it from that standpoint. Washington really messed up their season. They really went off the rails. They didn't handle things the way they should have in the offseason, and it's hurt them. And I think they've wasted this year for Jaden Daniels personally. That's my personal opinion. And I heard a comment about his mother, you know, saying something. I forgot what it was that she said, but once I get the quote, I'll comment about what his mother had to say in terms of expectations that's been placed on her son's shoulders. I'll touch on that a little bit later, but I think that the Commanders kind of messed up their season, and I don't know how they're going to get this ship righted, to be quite honest with you. I really, really don't.
Hey, Steven, though, I think Max checked out on Sunday, though, man. I just think he checked out.
I'm not sure he did, but I wouldn't blame him. The Raiders are a disaster.
Have a good day,
The Raiders are a disaster, bro. Thanks so much, Corey. I appreciate it. Greg in Michigan, you're live with Stephen A. Talk to me, Greg. How are you?
Stephen A., Mr. Positive, you've had a very positive show today, and you're sounding great. Real quick, great town hall with Chris Cuomo and Bill O'Reilly. You got lots of love with that, and you really hit it home, and you made a great difference, my buddy, my man.
Thank you.
I got to tell you. You know basketball. You got to hook up with my buddy David Shepard. But I got to tell you, the Detroit Lions, thanks for spreading the love. You don't realize. I mean, everyone follows you. You know what you're saying. You know, you've got the acumen. And, yes, they're going to win the NFC North. They made Baker look pedestrian yesterday. And like you said, we didn't have our safeties and all that stuff. And we still came through. So it's going to be – like you said, it's going to be Dallas. It's going to be Lions. It's going to be.
I'm just looking at the Detroit Lions right now, and I want everybody to understand what's going on with these brothers. Okay, you got a guy in Jared Goff, all right? You got a guy in Jared Goff. One of my producers just texted me talking about trying to tell me about David Shepard. Like, I don't know who David Shepard is. Of course, I know. He already told me. I know who David Shepard is. And I am going to have him on the show, by the way. So don't worry about
that.
Whoa. But I'm going to have him on the show. Don't even worry about it. That's gonna happen. But here's the other deal. I'm looking at Detroit. Terrion Arnold is out. DJ Reed is out. Kirby Joseph's out. Brian Branch, he's out because he got suspended. This cat, Calvin Shepard, has now replaced Aaron Glenn. Got the defense looking the way that they're looking right now. Held the Bucs to 9 points, just 251 total yards. Pressured Mayfield about 20 times, sacked him 4 times. Held Tampa Bay to 41 yards on 12 rushing attempts. But here's what I would caution. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Evans had just come back, then he got hurt early. Chris Godwin's been out. Bucky Irvin's been out. Two offensive starting linemen were out. So remember that Tampa, I think they might have missed their moment. They might have missed their time. But in the same breath, it's not like they were fully loaded. So we got to remember that. And we got to remember that when we saw Detroit against a team relatively fully loaded, I mean, Kansas City smacked them around even when they didn't have Rashee Rice. So we got to remember that too. And so I love Dan Campbell. He's arguably my favorite coach in the NFL. I just love him and what he brings to the table and what he's done to change the culture. I think their offense is elite. I think if they give you that kind of defensive effort, like we saw last night, I think they go to the Super Bowl. I really, really do. But
Stephen A.
Look at LA and Seattle and of course Philadelphia. We can't ignore them.
Stephen A. beautifully said, love you, keep being you. Everybody, go for your dreams.
Thanks a lot, my man. Appreciate it. Sam and PA, you're live with Stephen A. Talk to me, bro. How are you?
Great. Hey, when they did your procedure, did you go nitrous gas or did you just do Novocaine? Be honest.
I think Novocaine.
Oh, they didn't put you up to the gas, dude. If they hook you up to the gas, it's a whole different experience. It's a good time. I feel like this is a wonderful show today. We live in a crazy time. Michael Bublé talking about Snoop Dogg. I mean, just great. I love it. Yeah. I have a couple rapid fire questions.
Go ahead, man.
You go Mike Evans or Marvin Harrison?
Me personally, Marvin Harrison was big time. Marvin Harrison. Look. Mike Evans is a future Hall of Famer.
Sure.
Mike Evans is one of those dudes who's been a model of consistency. He's 32 years of age, okay? He's a walking 1,000-plus yard receiver each year. But Marvin Harrison, there were times when we looked at him as a top two receiver in the world. We never looked at Mike Evans that way. That's the only thing. I'm not throwing no shade on anybody because Mike Evans can ball, and I'm a huge fan of his. But We never looked at him the way we looked at Marvin Harrison at the height of Marvin Harrison's career. I mean, you're talking about Marvin Harrison retired, not his son in Arizona, right? You're talking about Marvin Harrison retired.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm talking about that Marvin Harrison, the Hall of Famer. We never looked at Mike Evans that way. So I would have to say Marvin Harrison.
I like it. I'm going to leave you on a Ronald Reagan quote, and he said it perfectly. We can't help everyone, but everyone can help someone. We hope you guys have a great day. Keep that love light on. Have a great one, brother.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you. Inspirational quote. Ain't no problem with that, bro. Ain't no problem with that at all. Let's go to Dr. Falcon in L.A. What's going on, my brother? How you doing? How's everything?
I'm doing fine, except for my Falcons. I want to get away from that, brother. I hope you feel good real soon, brother. Root canal ain't no joke. Now,
tell me about
NBA season, I'm a Hawks fan going back since 1977. I mean, who can forget the late, great Dan Rounfield or John Drew, Eddie Johnson, Tom McMillan. Yeah.
Totally true.
You know,
totally true.
Mike, this thing again.
You can't mention the Hawks without mentioning Dominique Wilkins. You know that, right?
That's right. That's right.
You can't do that, bro. I mean, come on. Now. That should have been the first name out of your mouth.
Absolutely, brother. I'm old. I had to go old school for Wayne Tree Rollins, Dominique, Kevin Willis. Yep. I know I'm all, man. But my question to you is this, man. A breath of fresh air, the season opening tonight. But the Hawks open up tomorrow at the crib against Toronto. Wait, can you give me the fifth seed, given that we got Porzingis and some other cats coming off the bench, especially Porzingis?
You're asking, can I give you the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference with the Hawks?
That's right. Yes.
No, I cannot. Right. Let me tell you why. First of all, automatically, you've got New York, Cleveland, Detroit. Automatically. Get that out the way. Okay?
Yeah.
I would put Orlando ahead of Atlanta. Okay? I would definitely have to do that. And even though Boston has got some changes, you're still being led by Jaylen Brown, and the nucleus of your team is intact. So we have to remember that as well. Now, I will say this. I think somebody like Trae Young's got some things to prove. I like Trae Young. Trae Young can ball. He's a Knick killer. He shows up in big moments. Nothing but respect for him. But he's more volume than anything else. And so he's got to become a bit more efficient. Establishing Kristaps Porzingis, he wasn't healthy last year. Why do I think he's going to be healthy this year? I like Nikhil Alexander on their squad now and Luke Kennard as well. And let's see what they're going to do. They're loaded with potential. They've got depth and length, and they can defend. I know all of these things about Atlanta, all right? But still in all, developing chemistry, you know, it's this one thing with me, Dr. Falcon, and this is what I pay attention to, particularly with young teams. Locale matters. I don't know how many times I have to prove that I'm right with this. When you think about, you know what makes a LeBron, a D-Wade, a Magic, a Kobe, a Shaq, and people like that so special?
They won in
Miami and L.A. Ain't nothing but distractions. You and I both know there's a lot of distractions in the ATL.
Yeah.
And you got to be locked in. You can't just show up and rely on your skill set. You got to want to be there. You got to be locked in. And you got to be locked in and zeroed in on maximizing your potential. I don't see, and one other thing that I think about at Atlanta, because even though Atlanta has great home crowds and stuff like that, it's like you got a whole bunch of people that have migrated to Atlanta, so they go to the games to see the other teams they're playing, not just them. Atlanta is one of those teams that desperately needs a star. You need a Kobe. You need a LeBron. You need an MJ. Even a Vince Carter. You know, because we all know how electrifying Vince Carter was in his heyday and stuff like that. You need somebody that's box office in the ATL to really, really rally the troops there, in my opinion. That's how I view the Atlanta Hawks. And they can fight for a fifth seed, but I see them six or lower.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair, brother. Real quick, I love your pick on KD being a possible MVP this year. I'm a KD fan, but he has to stay healthy. Before I leave, you got to keep an eye on Cade Cunningham. He's on the precipice of something
big
special.
Time.
That's a
big
dark
time.
Horse MVP.
Big
Dr.
time.
Dr. Falcons dark horse, Cade Cunningham.
That's not a bad choice. Cade Cunningham can ball. And I think Detroit is coming. I really, really do. Detroit can make some noise. We got to watch out for them. No doubt about it. Let's go to Richie in Long Island. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Richie? How are you?
Stephen A. Look, I don't know if you saw it yet. Did you see Woody Johnson's statement that he just put out
I did not see his statement. I don't know if I care, because I think Woody Johnson has been a disaster, and I think that the Jets have sucked ever since he returned, even though they wasn't much better when he was gone.
Steven, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, 45 years, just pure torture. You know, it was okay when it was Leon Hess. It was a good story that he bought in. He's got the opposite going. Nobody's going to want to work for this man. He's stuck with Aaron Glenn. Stephen, think about the contract he gave this person that nobody was going to give in the whole league, right? And it's very strange that they hid the amount, the terms, and the amount. They kept it off the radar to be – it's just everyone kind of knows, but they never put it out to the public what it exactly is, which bothers me right there.
Well, I would say this to you. Aaron Glenn coming over from Detroit was considered universally in the football world as a good hire. He did a damn good job as defensive coordinator with the Detroit
Why
Lions.
Why makes you think he did a damn good job as a defensive coordinator? Did you know him 22?
Yeah, Richie, you can't just talk. Gotta listen to me, bro. He had about 13 dudes injured on defense last year. But what I would say to you is this. I just wanted to get to a bigger point. Aaron Glenn came there with the hype. He comes across now as somebody who bought into it a little bit too much and forgot to do his damn job. Because the Jets are awful. They are awful. And to be this bad, even though it's his first year, you know, you do find yourself. I found myself wondering if Aaron Glenn would make it through the year, if the Jets wouldn't fire him before the season's out. They're winless, and they've lost games inexplicably. And then to invite Aaron Rodgers to New York just to tell him you didn't want him anymore when you could have just told him that over the phone. I didn't blame Aaron Rodgers for feeling salty about that. I really, really did it. And then you go out there and you were acting like y'all did a big deal by getting Justin Fields from Pittsburgh, and look at how Justin Fields is looking. It's bad. And you can't absolve Aaron Glenn from culpability in this. Running up and down the sideline like you're a cheerleader instead of the coach ain't going to cut it. You know, Jet fans ain't buying into all of that. You understand? And the enthusiasm of players, kind of coach, whatever. That's not what we're seeing. We're seeing a team that don't seem organized, don't seem together, and don't seem like they want to play for them. And that's just the truth. And so for me, I don't blame you at all for being frustrated, because I think it's completely justified. I truly do. Alvin and Indy, you're live with Stephen A. What's up, Alvin? How are you?
Hello, Stephen A. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I can hear you now, Alvin. Go ahead.
So I really thoroughly enjoyed the ALCS, Blue Jays, Mariners. I thought it was a very, very entertaining series. And I was very impressed with Julio Rodriguez, actually, J-Rod. I had an NBA comparison for him you might like.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your last part. Could you repeat that?
Julio Rodriguez, J-Rod.
Oh, yes.
I have an NBA comparison you might like.
Okay, go ahead, give it to me.
I think he's very, very similar to Anthony Edwards.
In terms of?
He was a young prospect, top prospect for a mediocre franchise. He's top 10 in MVP vote 3 times.
Okay.
He really elevated that team.
Okay. I don't mind that.
Charismatic dude.
That's a good comparison. That makes sense. That makes sense, because that definitely fits Anthony Edwards. No doubt about that. That definitely fits Anthony Edwards. You're not lying about that. You are telling the truth. You are preaching the gospel. I can't knock you for that. That's a good call, Alvin. It's a good call. Appreciate it. Thank you. Let's go to Michael in Tennessee. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Michael? How are you?
Stephen A., what's up, my brother?
Well, good to call. Thank you for calling. What's going on, my man? How's everything?
Hey, man, I hate to do this to you because I'm a big fan of yours. I hate to knock you when you're down. But, man, you got to start showing more love to my Broncos, bro. You have to. Bo Dick is the MVP. Y'all give Dallas all his credit.
You can't. You can't do that. Bo Nix and MVP. Come on,
in the
bro.
Fourth quarter.
Well, against the Giants. Listen.
All over the world.
Well, let me ask you a question. Is that more about the Broncos or is that about the Giants giving up 33 points in the fourth quarter?
If you're
Dable, or why are you throwing a football in that play on a third and five? Why aren't you just calling a run option for Dart? Let him run with the football, keep the clock running, force them to use a timeout or something. Why are you not doing that? Why would you go for that? Why would you do? Why would you do something like that? I mean, that's just ridiculous. And then you see how heartless their defense was. I mean, no resistance whatsoever, zero. You just look at the Giants like, what is this,
Mr. Smith?
Yes,
you're missing my point. You always talking about the Cowboys. The Cowboys barely won three games. My Broncos are at 5-2 right now. We're on our way. We're going to be playing in February. You know what that means?
Hold on. So you think they're going to the Super Bowl?
Yes, sir. In February, we will be playing. I'm telling you. It's going down. Market.
Michael, the Denver Broncos, if the Denver Broncos went to the Super Bowl, I might smoke some weed on the air. That's how confident I am. That ain't gonna happen. Cause we know I ain't gonna do that. That ain't gonna happen. Stop that. You ain't gonna no damn Super Bowl. Come on, man. Not this year.
Show some love
not
for my
this
Broncos,
year.
Man. We got Broncos not this fans year. All over the world.
Listen, I'm a huge Sean Payton fan. I think that he's a great coach. I think that Bo Nix can ball, no doubt. And I think your defense is big time. I really, really do. And Courtland Sutton ain't no joke. I got it. Okay. I understand it. Y'all got a good team. I don't think you're better than Kansas City. I don't think you're better than Indy. I think anybody else you can go up against. I think anybody else. Y'all did play Indy well. I mean I remember that game. I thought y'all got robbed.
But the point is that
I just look at y'all and I see a team. You know, it's you need one piece. You need one piece. I don't see you being that team going to no damn Super Bowl. But I do see you in the playoffs. I do see y'all as a top five team within the AFC. I see that. I give you that.
You talk about us more then, please. That's all I want.
A little bit. Well, I'm gonna have to talk about you. You got the Cowboys Sunday? I guess I gotta talk about you a little bit. Appreciate the call, man. Thank you so much. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Let me go to some voicemail messages at SiriusXM.com/getSirius. Let's see what Michael has to say from El Paso.
I think that the Minnesota Vikings need to move on from Kevin O'Connell. I've seen enough of him to know that he's not the guy that we need at the helm. He, you know, just is incompetent, I believe. He doesn't know what he's doing. And the longer we keep him, the worse he's going to get.
That's a blasphemous take. You must be crazy. Kevin O'Connell's a hell of a coach. He's a hell of a coach. He just doesn't have a quarterback right now. That's it. Carson Wentz ain't going to be the person to get that done. J.J. McCarthy, I mean, that's a business decision because he's under a rookie contract. And if you could have him, you could do some other things with your team, even though I think you keep Sam Darnold because you got Justin Jefferson, Addison Hawkinson, and those boys, and you got to capitalize off of that. That's just me, myself. But Kevin O'Connell can coach. That's just a blasphemous take. You need to stop that. Josh Robertson, he sent the voicemail message as well. What did he have to say?
Dak Prescott is the number one best quarterback in the National Football League. And the Dallas Cowboys are going to draft some defensive talent in these upcoming years. And we will win a Super Bowl in the next 5 years.
So now it's five years. Or it's not just 1 year, it's 5 years now, right? That's what we're going to do now. In the next 5 years. Y'all are something else, man. Please. Lost your damn mind. That's the grade that I'm giving you for that. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number called. It's 888-623-3646. Back with more of your calls in a minute. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio, in a minute.
Back to the Stephen A. Smith Show on Mad Dog Sports Radio. Here's Stephen A. Smith.
This is a beautiful week in sports. Don't waste it with weak takes. Drop me a voice message that'll make me actually feel something, please. Go to SiriusXM.com/getSirius. That's SiriusXM.com/getSirius. I brought up Jaden Daniels' mama. Her name is Regina Jackson. She is, believe it or not, a certified NFLPA agent and co-founder of the sports agency Athletes in Control. However, reportedly, she does not represent her son. In light of his injuries, incurring an injury, a hamstring injury, and a 44-22 loss to Dallas on Sunday, she spoke out because people were comparing her son to RG3, the former star quarterback for the Washington then Redskins at the time, who obviously suffered a severe leg injury and career ultimately was cut short because of that. Nevertheless, she said, quote, "I wish you all would stop manifesting RG3 on my son. She wrote in a post on X on Sunday evening, "Words are powerful, and that's all that's talked about," end quote. RG3, to his credit, posted something saying he's always supported Jaden Daniels and want nothing but the best for him. He said, quote, "Being the QB1 in Washington, D.C. comes with an intense spotlight that I know well. You love your son and the real fans do, too. I want a long, healthy career for him. He will always have my support," Griffin wrote on X. Regina Jackson, don't blame her. Understand, she loves her son. She's concerned. But here's the bottom line. Fans are going to be fans. Fans are going to be fans. And as his mama, you have every right to say what you're saying. There's nothing wrong with it. Absolutely nothing wrong with what she's saying. Just know that most fans ain't going to listen. If you're a Washington Commanders fan, if you're a fan of the Washington football team in the nation's capital, you know what having a star quarterback can mean for that franchise. You know what success for that franchise means for that area. And you know everything is riding on that quarterback. And the reality is that when he's hobbled, they ain't going to be happy about it. And it's going to automatically warrant comparisons to RG3. And they're not going to be silent about it. Just accept it. Understand it. Because it ain't going to change. It just isn't. That's just not the way it goes with fans. That's not who fans are. That's not who they'll ever be. And we just got to know that. And you got to move forward. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. By the way, as a reminder to Cowboy fans out there, do you want to see me live and in person? Well, you have the chance. Join me on Monday, November 3rd, as I broadcast the Stephen A. Smith Show from Texas Live outside of the AT&T Stadium ahead of Monday Night Football between the Cowboys and the Arizona Cardinals. We'll be joined by Dallas Cowboy legend and Pro Football Hall of Famer DeMarcus Ware and some more surprise guests throughout the show. Plus, you'll have the chance to interact with me. It's the Stephen A. Smith Show at Texas Live, Monday, November 3rd, from 12 to 2 p.m. Central. Can't make the event? Listen on Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, in the car or on the SiriusXM app. Back to the phones we go at 888-MAD-DOG-6. It's 888-623-3646. Let's go to Chris in Maryland. You're live with Stephen A. Talk to me, Chris. What's up?
Stephen A., what's going on?
What's up, Nick, man? How are you?
Good, good, good. Question. I agree the Knicks should go to the finals. I don't think they have a choice but to go to the finals because of them firing Thibodeau. My question is, and I
you
know
really think
early,
that's the reason? You really think that's the reason? I don't know about that. I mean, I get where you're coming from. Listen, I love Tom Thibodeau, and I appreciate what he did. I truly, truly do. I want to be very, very clear about that. But I also think it's important to point out that Tom Thibodeau, and I would say this to his face respectfully, he gets in his own way. Like, hardcore, rigid, want to do things his way all the time. Anybody in his position would want to and should want to. But when you know that's what cost you the job in Chicago, and then you know that's what cost you the job in Minnesota, why would you do that in New York? That's what bothers me about him. It's like, come on, bro. You're a great coach. You're dedicated. You're committed. You've resurrected basketball in New York City. I wish Tom Thibodeau was still here. I love me Mike Brown now. Mike Brown is a good person, man. He's a damn good coach, and he's a good person, and I'm rooting for him. But I got love for Tom Thibodeau as well. But why would you allow the same thing to get you done for a third time? Why would you do that?
You're right, and I agree with that. I guess my issue is because it's the Knicks specifically. Mm-hmm. This is the first time they've been to the conference finals in 25 years. So now, as a fan, I'm thinking, all right, you want to get rid of Tibbs? Fine. Now the next coach, Brown. If you don't get to the finals, then I'm going to look at you crazy because.
Well, let me tell you this. Well, let me ask you this, Chris. Why are you looking at Mike Brown instead of Mikal Bridges and Leon Rose? Because Leon Rose is the one that traded 5 first round picks for him. Let me tell you something right now. Do you understand that if you don't trade 5 first round picks, you have Giannis Antetokounmpo here at the Garden?
Absolutely.
You realize that? Knicks could have had Giannis Antetokounmpo. If you traded 3 first round picks, and I understand, because listen, this is what happened, just so everybody would know, Chris. Jalen Brunson could have signed a contract a year later and could have cost the Knicks an extra $100 to $125 million. He didn't do that. because he wanted his boy here too, okay? So he signed a contract that was lesser valued a year earlier and enables them to go out and trade for Mikal Bridges. And because you're trading with Brooklyn, there's this unwritten rule in Brooklyn and New York that you ain't trading with one another. Neither is going to help the other franchise. So if you're going to do anything, you got to milk them for all it's worth. That's why Leon Rose had to give up 5 picks for Mikal Bridges. Right. There's nobody else on this planet that would have given up 5 first-round picks for Mikal Bridges. Only the Knicks would do that because they had to, because Jalen Brunson wanted his boy there from Villanova. He wanted his friend. Yeah. And by the way, Mikal Bridges can play. He's not a scrub. I got no problem with the $150 million extension he got. He's worth it. I'm simply saying, however, that now you got to be an all-star. You can't be just a good player. You got to be an all-star. You got to be the dude that knows they gave up 5 first-round picks for you. And you might have cost us Giannis. That's what they got to know. That's what I'm saying.
I hear you. I hear you. Like I said, I just thought if they kept Tibbs one more year and if you didn't get to the NBA Finals because you've been getting better every year, then cool. You get rid of him and you start over. I just feel like LeBron is almost unfair because if he doesn't get to the Finals, it's like, well, our last coach got us to the conference finals for the first time in 25 years, and you're bringing us back. You know what I mean?
Okay. I feel you. I understand it. It makes sense. It makes sense. And by the way, on a different subject, appreciate the call. I mentioned to y'all earlier that I got Kevin Durant as a potential leading candidate for league MVP honors. Okay? Kevin Durant, I mean, have people looked at his numbers in his 20s compared to his 30s? Kevin Durant is still playing at a Hall of Fame level, y'all. He's 37 years of age. He turned 37 in September. All right? In his 20s compared to his 30s. All right? 37 minutes per game. Now it's 36. 27.1 points per game in his 20s. 27.4 in his 30s. 49% shooting from the field in his 20s. 53% in his 30s. 38% three-point shooting in his 20s, 40% in his 30s. Free throw shooting is still at 88%, plus he's averaging more assists. Are you freaking kidding me? Kevin Durant in his 30s is better than he was in his 20s. And now Ime Udoka's got him. And that kid, Amen Thompson, is a stud. He is going to be a star in this league. I'm a huge fan of his. Shagun, Jabari Smith. I mean, look, y'all, Houston, they can make some noise. Tonight, Kevin Durant coming back to Oklahoma City. It's a ring ceremony, and they talk about, isn't it ironic? Because Kevin Durant has to be there for a ring ceremony for a franchise that he never delivered a chip for. But I got to tell you, it's really about him leaving because he did get him to the finals, okay? And he was a superstar when he was there with him and Russell Westbrook, all right? But Shea Butter and what Sam Presti has done, can't say nothing about Sam Presti anymore. Clearly the best executive in basketball, no doubt about it. Got to give respect where it's due. He deserves it all. But Kevin Durant being there with Houston now and Ime Udoka sending a message, he's going to start 4 dudes, 6 feet 11, with Hartenstein and Chet Holmgren down there. I think it's going to get interesting. This is going to be a really good NBA season. It really, really is, and I can't wait. I really, really can't. I'm not going to be doing NBA Countdown this year. The boys from TNT are coming over. Barkley, Shaq, Kenny Smith, Ernie Johnson. They'll be on TNT opening tomorrow night. Plus, you know, second team with Kendrick Perkins, Mike Malone, Malika Andrews, and them doing their thing. You'll see my face from time to time, but they'll be doing their thing. I'm rooting for them. I know they'll all do a great job. But I'm looking forward to this NBA season. I'm here to tell you that right now. I can't wait. But I do expect my Knicks to come out of the East. I mean, it's by default because of all them damn Achilles injuries in Boston and Indiana and leading the Dame departing from Milwaukee. So that's where I'm coming from with that, even though I know Cleveland and Detroit are formidable threats. But the Knicks should still be able to come out of the Eastern Conference, in my estimation. Let's go back to the phones at 888-MAD-DOG, 668-623-3646. Let's go to Dana in Virginia. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Dana?
Hey, how's it going, Stephen? I hope your mom's feeling a little better, man.
Thank you, man. I'm here. I'm here. That's all that matters. Yes, I'm here. What's up?
But earlier today, I heard y'all on First Take when y'all was talking about Tampa Bay, man. I thought somebody was going to touch on all the missed touchdowns and overthrown passes that Baker Mayfield threw last night. Didn't nobody mm-hmm. touch on that. The man threw the ball 50 times last night. Now, I don't think he completed 50% of his passes last night.
So what's your point? What are you trying to say?
Everybody was talking about he got a chance to be MVP this year. He's playing out his mind. All right, he was playing out his mind when he was winning them old tight games, but he went up against a defense that had second and third string secondary back there.
Then I get you, but a couple of things. Number one, they were getting to him. They pressured him 20 times. They sacked him 4 times. That's number one. Number two, Mike Evans down, Chris Godwin's down, Ibuka didn't look like himself. I mean, you got some issues in Tampa. I mean, you can't just put that all on Baker Mayfield. You can't do that.
Last night, he overthrew the Johnson board about 3 times. He missed him twice for a touchdown.
He did. It wasn't a great game last night, no doubt about it. He has some missed
throws last night. And that wasn't pressure. He had some missed throws last night.
There ain't no question about it. But the reality is that, you know what? He had to play better. And he didn't last night, but he's entitled. But every the other games he played this year, he was playing lights out. And the conversation and the dialogue about him wasn't off-putting. It wasn't beyond the pale. You got to give credit where credit is due, bro. I got to do that.
Yeah, but was it mentioned? Nothing was mentioned about the passes that he overthrew and the touchdowns.
I feel you.
That was Lamar Jackson or somebody like that.
We would have said it too. We would have pointed it out.
That was Jalen Hurts.
We would have pointed it out.
It would have got started with Jalen Hurts. Cost the Philadelphia Eagles the game.
You know why? Because time out. Because Philadelphia is more interested in talking about than Tampa. You understand what I'm saying? That's what that's about. That's all. But it's not like we would have said something different. Come on, man. Stop tripping. We would have called it out if any of them had the same issues. And we called it out about Baker Mayfield as well. Okay? Just like that. He's plummeted from that MVP conversation. We saw Jared Goff. Jared Goff didn't have that great of a game either. But Detroit just looked all around better. So we got to give credit where credit is due. Appreciate the call, man. Thank you so much. Ty in Maryland, you're live with Stephen A. Go ahead, Ty. Phone's yours.
Stephen A., thanks for taking my call, man. I wasn't gonna take it easy on you, but you came up again about them Knicks, orange and blue skies, and they going to the NBA finals. We're going to the NBA finals, but they ain't gonna win it. Let me give you my take here.
Give it to me.
Philadelphia 76ers.
Oh my God.
Will win the East.
Oh my God.
You remember that man Joel Embiid on one leg, Stephen A.
Joel Embiid is a monster. He's big time. I know he is. But I ain't thinking about the Philadelphia 76ers because I don't expect him and Paul George to be healthy. I'm just being real with it. Why should I think that they're going to be all right? That's where I'm at with it.
Just remember what he did to you guys. You were there. Come on.
Who don't know what Joel Embiid does? Joel Embiid is somebody that I've said, if healthy, I think he's the best big man in basketball. That includes Jokic. If he's healthy, the problem is he's never healthy, so you can't even compare. That's the issue. But when Joel Embiid is healthy, ain't no big man better in basketball than Joel Embiid. I give you that all day, every day. All right?
All right.
Appreciate it. Ain't nobody hiding? Ain't nobody hiding, bro? I'm right here. I ain't going nowhere. I'm here with a root canal. Clearly, I ain't going nowhere. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call. That's 888-623-3646. Back with your calls, your voicemail, and more to close out the show. In a minute, you're listening live to Stephen A. SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio.
Back to the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Let's check out a voicemail from Los Angeles, California here. Let's see what this person's saying.
Yo, what's good, Stephen A. Smith? This is Benjamin Rodriguez from Los Angeles, California. My hottest take is that Luka Doncic will win MVP for the regular season. However, the Dallas Mavericks will defeat the Los Angeles Lakers in the semifinals. Another thing is that the New York Knicks will defeat the Cleveland Cavaliers in the semifinals as well. So that's my hot take. I have a lot, but...
I think that this is an outstanding take by Benjamin Rodriguez. That's serious. You know why? Because he got the Knicks in Dallas, which is exactly what I said. I mean, that's just wisdom beyond his years. I got to give respect where respect is due. Way to go, Benjamin. Way to go. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Let's go to Mark in California. You're live with Stephen A. Talk to me, Mark. What's up?
Hey, Stephen A. I'm glad to talk to you again, man.
Thank you.
I want to say I agree with you on three NBA points. So I'm going to hit them real quick. And I want to say real quick, I think Houston has they're in a kind of a double win situation. They get a chance to let Amen Thompson grow up at point guard. And he played some last year filling in for Van Vliet. So I agree. They're going to let him blow up. But they also have the assets and young players, too. They need to, around January, when there might be a seller's market, go find a replacement. So they have an option.
Go find a replacement for who?
For Van Vliet if they need some help at point guard. That's what I mean. At the trade deadline. So they do have options, but I agree with you.
Well, you got options, but when you got a guy like him who's a champ, it's hard to find a guy who's a shooter, who operates under pressure and who knows what it's like to win a championship.
It's hard to find all of that. I agree they lose there, Stephen A., but they're going to gain on the other end because that kid's going to create havoc on the defensive end. He's going to be able to slash to the basket. They're going to have to double-team that whirlwind Shangun in the post. And KD's going to be out there. What are you going to do with him? He's going to raise up. Now you got all kind of problems created.
You know what I think you do? I think you let Shangun beat you. What I don't think you do is let KD launch. But listen, let's face reality.
He's gonna
There's no stopping KD. KD going to do what KD going to do. KD going to give you 27 in the sleep.
Yeah.
At age 37.
The last thing I'll say about it real quick, Stephen A., is that they're going to be the same team they were. They're going to pound you on the boards. They're going to play defense. And now they have the shooters. So people forget they were the Western Conference bullies last year. Nobody wanted to play them. They played like Udoka. They play like him. So they can still play that way.
Okay.
They now have not only the shooter to finish those games.
I'm running out of time. I'll talk to you about it. I ain't going nowhere. I'll be here all week. I appreciate the call, man. Thank you so much. Let's go to A'Shaun in Colorado. You're live with Stephen A. What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing, Stephen A.?
Talk to me, my brother. How you doing? What's up?
I'm doing great. I got 3 points for you, man.
Hurry up, because we're running out of time. I ain't got much time. We're at the bottom of the hour. Go ahead.
Here we go. Philly has played the hardest schedule, and they're 5-2. Jalen Hurts has the only perfect passer rating against.
Don't want to hear that. Don't want to hear that. You know it ain't about that. You know it's about how that running game has looked. You know that. That's what we talk about with the Eagles. Come on, now stop that. You know that's what we're talking about here.
Last year, now Stephen A., all we heard last year was the run game. Can Jalen Hurts pull off what he needs?
You can't run for 2,000 yards and then be on pace to run for 900 and then have press conferences talk about only when it matters. Who cares how many yards I got? You Saquon Barkley. Come on, bro. You can't do that. There's more that's required from a guy of his caliber. 44 yards and 18 carries, 2.5 yards per carry against the Vikings, on pace for fewer than 900 yards this season. Come on, bro. You got to do better than that. You know that.
They get it together, and they will. If there's anybody that can, it's the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay. What's your second point, real quick?
Second point was Jalen Hurts has the only perfect passer rating against the top defense with Brian Flores. I just feel that. And he's top five in passer rating in the NFL.
So why are you bringing him up? What's your point about Jalen Hurts? You want him to get more credit?
I do.
He's the Super Bowl champion, the Super Bowl MVP. What you want to do? Put diapers on him next? We know who he is, bro. Come on, man.
We know who he is.
Ain't no hate.
When he struggled, they lost two in a row.
We pointed out that they lost two in a row and why. That's not hating on them. We pointed out the struggles while it was happening. That's all. What's your third point? Real quick. Go ahead.
Real quick. Baker Mayfield wins 0-8, passes to 20-plus yards. Okay. I think Baker has taken a hit in the MVP race. And I think if Jalen Hurts continues at this trajectory, he can not say win it, but he can get into those talks.
Jalen Hurts is not going to win an MVP. Dak Prescott would get it before Jalen Hurts this year. That's just a fact. Appreciate the call. Let's go to John. You're live with Stephen A. What's going on, John? How's everything, man?
It's all good. Stephen, real quick.
Yes, sir.
Been 30 years since Nick Anderson put a dagger in our hearts down here in the NBA Finals.
I remember when he caused the turnover on Jordan. I remember.
That's very true. We haven't forgotten here for sure. But this year, we got two new additions. We have Apollo back playing well, hopefully. What are the chances of us going at least to the semifinals in the Eastern?
You got a chance. You got a chance. Okay. Jalen Suggs got a return from his knee injury. We all know that, right? Y'all ain't been out of the first round since 2010. But I love me some Paolo Banchero. I love him. I love his game. Wagner's no joke either. And even though you gave up a lot, four unprotected first-round picks and a first-round pick swap for Desmond Bane is exactly what y'all needed because y'all do not have three-point shooting. But you got Wagner. You got Banchero. I got questions about your depth because if you had to do all of that to get Bane, that says a lot about what you don't have as much as it says a lot about what you do have. And that's what my issue would be. So I think you're going to the playoffs. I still think it's going to be a challenge for you to get out of the first round because I don't know how deep you're going to, how high your seeding is going to be going into the postseason. That would be my concern about you, but you are better as a team this year than you were last year. You are better, and I'll give that to y'all. Let's go to Al in Florida. You're live with Stephen A. Real quick, Al, go ahead.
I'm Stephen A., man. Big time fan of yours, man.
Thank you.
Just wanted to talk about my Jaguars a little bit, man. We over 500 now. We're 4-3. The meat of the schedule is over. The meat of the schedule is over. We got a Denver team, we got a Charger team, and we got two of our last four games against the Colts, my man. Everybody else is under 500. That defense can't get back healthy, man, and I'm not even thinking on
it. All right, here's the deal. Here's your problem. You got smacked around by Los Angeles. You lost to Seattle the week before. You're on a two-game losing streak. You got a bye week. You basically got two bye weeks because you got a road game against the Raiders. That's a victory. Okay? You basically got 2 weeks off, okay, because you're going to win that game. All right? Houston could be very interesting because even though they struggle offensively, defensively, they're elite, and we know that. You got the Chargers. You got Arizona. You got Tennessee. You got Indianapolis. Listen. I see you got two against Indianapolis. You in trouble there. You got a game against the Chargers. You could be in some trouble there. You got a road game against Arizona. You can't underestimate that. You got a road game against the Denver Broncos. So I'm telling you right now that I got y'all down for at least four more losses. I got you at least seven losses this season, 10-7. Is that going to get you in?
Oh, man.
That's what I got you.
I don't see that. I don't see that.
Okay. Let's talk about it tomorrow then. Call me back when I got more time. Because I damn sure see it. I see four more losses for Jacksonville. You ain't losing less than seven games. You're going to lose seven games this season. That's all I'm telling you. That's the way it's going to go. Mad Dog Russo's up next. The Toronto Blue Jays are going to the World Series against the Los Angeles Dodgers. You know he's going to have that on his mind big time. I'm glad I could be with y'all today. Thank y'all for struggling with me with this root canal. I'll be back tomorrow, same bat time and channel. Until then, peace and love, everybody. I'm out.